Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. Many are familiar with the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, and most can identify the issues in the story. A disobedient and unappreciative son, he prematurely takes his inheritance and leaves his father's home for a life of sin and excess in the big city. He squanders his time and his money, but finally, he comes to his senses and returns to seek his father's acceptance and forgiveness. No problem understanding what's going on here. In fact, we see it happening in our own neighborhoods. We may or may not commend the father for taking him back. After all, he deserved the consequences of his actions, didn't he? Well, the father does take him back, and we all generally get the lesson of forgiveness for a son who has sinned. But there is another son in the story, and this man never took the low road. He apparently did his best working for his father. But fast forward to the end of the story, and who actually entered into the blessings and joy of the father's house? Was it the son who thought himself pretty good? Well, sadly, it was not. Where there is no repentance, there is no salvation. In today's message, evangelist Mr. Frank Sona focuses on this other son, and applies his situation to many good living people who like to think they're doing the best they can for God, people who may even believe that they don't need forgiveness, people who don't think it's fair that the prodigal son was even received back home. The Bible calls such people self-righteous. They don't believe they need to repent. What a dangerous condition to be in. We hope that this story told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be understood by each of our listeners today. May it be a lesson to all the prodigals out there, but also to all those self-righteous ones who are left standing outside the door of salvation.
Now we're going to trickle through this parable. It actually has several parts to it. We're not going to read, at least tonight, the first part of this parable, which involves 100 sheep and then 10 coins and so on. But we're going to look at two sons. We're going to go to verse 11. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And the speaker is the Lord Jesus. It's impossible for him to lie. And as he tells this story, he unfolds the truth of really what it means to be saved and what it means to be lost. He unfolds as well the truth of the joy that is in heaven, the joy that not only he but the Father experiences when souls are saved. And make no mistake about it, that is what God is, and I say it reverently, God is in the business of. It's not a business, but he delights to do it. It is what he longs to do. Is it any wonder that the very name of the Lord Jesus means Jehovah the Savior? When he was born into this world, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But what you have as the background of this is there were people that heard the Lord speaking, that watched him, and they looked down upon the Lord Jesus because of what he was doing. He was extending himself to the down and outers, to the publicans, to the sinners, to the people that they would not soil their hands with, even touching. And oftentimes, if one of those people were on one side of the road, the Pharisees, in their smug distance, they would walk on the other side of the road. Didn't even want to mix and mingle with these people. And yet in stark contrast to them, here was the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, the one who could not sin, and he received them. And not only does it say he received them, but he ate with them. He welcomed them. And they felt this. You see, a person who knows their sin, a person who knows the depths of what we really are, welcomes salvation, looks for salvation. Because we know, we found out this, I'm going to have to meet God. And I can't meet him in my sins. If I did, I'd be doomed. When I found out I was a lost sinner going to hell, I want to tell you, I longed to be saved. And I thank God that I found out through the words of another passage of Scripture, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I came to realize what this prodigal realized. I'm perishing. And I thought, here's one that met my need. Thank God for Christ. And I trusted him that night and I was saved. I don't want to speak to you tonight about the prodigal. I want to speak to you as the Lord Jesus brings the numbers down. There is one number that stays the same in these parables or these stories. The Lord Jesus begins with 100 sheep, but he speaks about one that's lost. He talks about 10 coins and one that is lost. Now he comes to two sons. But the interesting thing is this, they're both lost. The only difference is this, one is lost among the pigs, the prodigal. The other is lost in his pew, and he doesn't admit it. And you know what the truth is? There's far more older brothers than there are prodigals. There's far more people with their attitude of pride and their smugness and their comparison of themselves with other people that do not and will not admit, I'm lost. I am guilty. You see, when it comes to salvation, salvation is a work of God that he makes good to a sinner when you trust his Son as Savior. But that work of salvation is for those that are lost. In this same book, the Lord Jesus speaks and he says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, getting saved, can I say it this way? That's not hard because he did all the work. It's the lost part that's hard for people to take in. It's that part that people won't bow to. They won't admit it because of pride. Far more elder brothers than there are prodigals. So that's who I want to look at the beginning of this meeting, this older brother. And as you look at him, I want you to be honest with yourself and really admit to yourself, as we all must, that we are far more like this person There is in our hearts this that answers to what this man is saying, and far less like that prodigal. I want you to notice, number one, what he was. Well, it says he's the older brother, the elder brother. He was a person of privilege. He was the firstborn. He was the one that came into the home first and so on. He was there first. And so you could picture why he has this attitude. I grew up in an Italian home. The first person in Italian homes, you're the king. And maybe that attitude is fostered in some of our homes too. But you know what? This world does a lot to foster that attitude. From the advertisements that we have, from the attitude of the world, you deserve a break today, McDonald's. You deserve it. You deserve this. Don't let people step on you. You take advantage of this. Don't. And we are constantly pushing people to be all that they can be and so on. You know what God is telling us in His Word? We're nothing but sinners. We're lost. We are launched into this world defective. Sin has disqualified us from getting to heaven. Your sin is the biggest problem that keeps you out of heaven. And it's not big sins or little sins. It's what you are, as even opposed to what you do. You see, what you are is far worse than anything you will ever do. And that's where it starts. The truth of being a sinner is not that you become a sinner once you sin. David says this in Psalm 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That every one of us start our journey with the very truth of conception, being sinful sinners. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's why there is death that occurs to even children that have never been born, stillborn. Death that can occur at any time. We are subject to death. You ever wonder why? It's not because your heart stops beating. It's not because you stop breathing. It's because you're a sinner. We all are. This elder brother never took that place, never took the low place. He wanted the high place. And so we have what he was. I want you to notice where he was. It says he was in the place of privilege. As the firstborn, he had the place of privilege. You know, I was thinking today about this country. And I was thinking about the United States as well as Canada. We are so privileged in this area. Bibles, availability of gospel truth, flick your radio stations. There may not be many, but you can hear it. How much availability to be able to come to a meeting like this freely. What a place of privilege we have. You have tonight. You won't always have that. There are people tonight that would give anything to be able to come to a gospel meeting. And they can't. They're gone out into eternity. You know, eternity is a real issue. Another thing that the world does not want us to think about, the devil does not want us to think about. He wants you to just live for the moment and forget about tomorrow. Can I ask you something? Where are you going to be 100 years from now? Where are you going to be when you come to the end of your life? Where are you going to be? Because the one person that's guaranteed to attend your funeral is you. Where will you be? Oh, you say, well, the body will be in the box. Well, that's right, but that's not you. The Bible makes it clear that you are a soul, and your soul, you live in a body. Where will you be 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now? What a place of privilege now, but what about then? I want you to think of something else. Notice what he asks. He hears these things. His brother has come back. As he listens to what's happening to him now, he doesn't know what's going on. He says, what do these things mean? Now listen, it wasn't that it was noisy. It was that he was nosy. That's really the truth. He heard singing and dancing. He heard all these things. He says, what do these things mean? Do you know something? When we talk about salvation, when we preach the gospel, how can a person understand that on the basis of grace, on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ, all my sins can be forgiven, and I can know for sure that I will be in heaven and I will never be in hell? How can I even understand the concepts of heaven and hell forever? You know what? God isn't asking you to understand them. He's not asking you to understand salvation. He's not asking you to understand God. You can't. He's not asking you to come to this book and understand all that's in this book. You know what he's expecting you to do? He's not asking you to do it. He's expecting you to do it. Believe him. Because he is God. And we come with our preconceived notions. We come with our doubts, with our disputations, with our debates, and how we feel things should be. And exactly like this older brother. And we say, how could this be? How could it be that a person who has lived all their life as a sinner, even perhaps a murderer, and there on death row, he trusts Christ and gets God's salvation? No, that's wrong. Is it? Is it any more wrong than you as a sinner trusting Christ and getting God's salvation? You see, we think like us, not like God. And God says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone, if every single one of us The good person, quote unquote, in the pew, and the prodigal in the pigsty. If we all got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell, and we'd all be lost forever. And if it wasn't for God acting in grace and mercy and making available salvation to the whosoever, not a one of us would be able to get to heaven. It's the only way. And the sad reality is there are people that are trying to work their way to heaven, earn their way to heaven, thinking, some of them not even trying to earn or work, just thinking they're going because they're not that bad. It's not a matter of trying or working. It's a matter of comparison. And you'll step over the next person to get to heaven because you realize he's a lot worse than I am. That's exactly what this older brother did. He looked at his younger brother and he said to his father, listen, how could you do this? How could you do these things? In effect, you know what he's saying? How could you save him? I deserve it. I deserve everything. Kick him out. What do you think about you? You think you deserve to go to heaven? You think if it came right down to it tonight, you think you deserve to go to that place? I'll tell you what, if that's what you think, you're not going. I want to be very honest with you. You are not going. Because the Lord Jesus makes it clear that the younger brother, the one who realized, I'm guilty, I'm perishing, and he threw himself on the mercy of his father, he's the one that comes in. The sad reality is this older brother, it says he would not go in. Would not go in. That phrase has been going before me all day. He would not go in. You're lost in your sins, and you won't go in because you don't think you're as bad as the next person. You don't think you're deserving of judgment. You think you're deserving of heaven. And the Bible makes it clear that there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you have what he hears. Basically, it was the truth of the gospel. What he heard was the truth of the gospel, that the Father brought this young boy in who did not deserve his blessings. He had squandered, wasted his substance with riotous living. And the Father receives him in, and the Son can't handle that. It says he was angry. Let me ask you something else. He was angry. He was angry because his brother came back and his father received him. If there were someone in these meetings that got salvation, how would you feel? I can tell you how God would feel. He would rejoice. The Lord Jesus would rejoice. I tell you how the Christians would feel. We'd rejoice. Might even start singing, oh, happy day. How would you feel? How would you feel if your brother got saved? How would you feel if your sister got saved? How would you feel if there were a family member? How would you feel if someone came in off the street, maybe a down and outer, someone, a homeless person, maybe a drug addict, and they came in off the street, and all of a sudden they tell you, God has saved me. Christ died for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can see it right in his face, the change. How would you feel? Why does he get it? It says he was angry and he would not go in. You see, there are people that think they're living and they're okay. And the things that they do, they're not that bad. And they don't see really what's inside their own heart. The sinfulness, the wickedness. You know what that's called in the Bible? Being awakened. You ever been awakened? Some people need to literally get awakened in meetings. Certainly every one of us need to get awakened spiritually. No one will ever get God's salvation without being awakened. Awakened to what you are, where you're going. Have you ever seen that? That preceded his younger brother. Before he ever came into the house, he was awakened. It says he came to himself. He said, I'm perishing. Before a person will ever get God's salvation, you've got to see yourself as lost. You ever seen that? There are people that say they're Christians, and they have never seen themselves as lost. There are people that tell you, well, you know what? Yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I maybe wouldn't say, there are actually people that say they're Christians and they say, well, I wouldn't say I'm saved. Well, the Bible says a Christian is a person who's saved. If you say you're not saved, well, then you're not a Christian. Because a Christian in the Bible is a person who has been saved. Saved from what? Saved from perishing. Saved from hell. Saved from their sins. So I want to ask you tonight, are you saved or are you lost? If you're lost, you're perishing. The only good thing is this, you haven't perished forever. And you could get God's salvation. What he heard, what he does, it says he would not go in. He was just fooling himself. You know what he thought? He really thought that his problem wasn't that bad. He thought he was okay. You know what's amazing to me? Where he ends when we come to the end of the story. Where does he end? Well, the Lord Jesus doesn't give us the end of this parable, does he? Doesn't really say how it ends, apart from him being on the outside. You know why he does that? He leaves it for you to finish. You're that older brother. What are you going to do? Stay with him? Or are you going to say, after you read this, hey, listen, this makes sense. I'm not going to stay with this fellow. I'm going in. Choice is yours. You can stay with him, and the father turns and goes in. You know what amazes me? As much as that father wants that son to come in, he's not going to stay there all day. He said, son, if that's what you want, you stay here. Can I say this? And I want to say it kindly. As much as God loves sinners, if you don't want God's salvation, if you're not going to go for it now, it cost him the life of his own son. He will turn to others. There will be others. God is not going to focus all of his energy and attention. Can I say it that way? He'll turn because you don't realize how great your sin is. You don't realize the cost of what it took for him to open the door of his house for you. In this parable, it was just a calf. Now here's the point. Something had to die. In this parable, they've killed the fatted calf. But in reality, someone had to die. His son. God opens the door of heaven tonight and he says, you can come in. It's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says, come on in. And there are those that have said, I'm not coming in that way. If I have to admit, if I have to take the same place as this person who lived with the, who ate with the pigs and wasted away his life, if I have to take the same place, oh no, that salvation isn't for me. I'll just tell you one quick story. It just came into my mind. I was having meetings and it was with an older man, an older preacher, and there was a woman who was coming to those meetings. She was a very well-to-do woman in that community. The tent that we were using, we were having tent meetings, not in a nice building like this, far from this building. It had patches. It looked like something that you had out of the out of Beetle Bailey. I mean, it was something like, patched up. It was just, anyway, this woman came, and she very condescendingly said, you're doing a good work. Maybe that's what you think. This is a nice work. Maybe you'll tell us at the door. It was a very nice message. And it's as far as it will get with you. We told that woman from the Bible she had to be saved, that she was lost. And the truth did start getting into her. You know what she said one night? She says, I would like to be saved. And I know I need to be saved. She says, but I will never get saved in this tent. It's just almost beneath her. No, if I get saved, it's going to be in a cathedral. It's going to be with a minister, well-known minister. Those meetings came to an end, and that woman never got saved. You know why? Take a good look. She's the older brother. And she would not go in. And maybe you're just like her. And that's why you're not saved. Take the place of the prodigal. He goes in. Or stay in the place of the elder brother. And you'll stay out forever. The choice is yours.
Yes, we all need to be saved. And we all need to be saved on God's terms, not our own. We all need to see ourselves as God sees us, as there being no difference, because we have all sinned. There was tremendous rejoicing over the lost son returning to his father, and we hope that there will be rejoicing today over some sinner in our listening audience agreeing with God and turning to Christ for salvation. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday night, as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gospel hall nearest you. Also, feel free to take a look at other literature and audio offers at anchorpointradio.com, where you can also subscribe to our Anchor Point podcast. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior, and in times like these, you need an anchor.